I just want everyone to know that we love having this class, love to have you attend this class. If there's anyone here who would like to introduce themselves, we'd love to get to know you and where you're from. And I know that it's sometimes hard to meet people who are so like-minded that want to know about the Ascended Masters. And if you want to participate in other activities that the Heart Center has, just let any of us know that are
Marlene,
on the...
Marlene, hold on a minute. Hold on just a moment. Can everybody hear Marlene? I'm afraid we got cut off here. What I'm going to do is have you hit star 6.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I will unmute you.
We can hear... I can hear Marlene.
You can hear Marlene okay? Okay,
yes.
As long as you can
hear
Marlene.
Yeah, we can hear.
Okay, go ahead, Marlene. You can hit star 6 again. Unmute, I'm sorry.
Okay, so did everybody already hear what I already said?
I think so. I think
okay.
It must be a mistake. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So anyway, we have contacts from all over the U.S., and many feel isolated in regards to the New Age subjects. So if you would like to stay updated on the Heart Center activities and their services, contact one of us on the team, and we will put you on either a regular email or a snail mail list. So you'll probably hear from us every few weeks, most likely. So we have an active team. It's Donna, Barbara, Dee, Dwyn, myself, Cindy, Jennifer, Leah, and Autumn. And we is Leah on the call tonight?
Leela's here.
Okay. So Leela is one of our newest team members. So we present this class, and we're available to answer questions, find out answers if we don't know them. We pray for all of ourselves, all our requests, and we give you encouragement. So if you are attending this class, we love to help you with anything you personally need as far as prayers. So you can contact Donna or Barbara or any of the team members. And we also have a prayer team at the Heart Center that prays for everyone that we know of that is invited to this class. I wanted to share our mission and our vision statements. Our mission is within our Heart Center community, we realize personal enlightenment through our higher self, and we share the Ascended Master's love wisdom teachings throughout the earth. And our vision is that we live in sustainable golden crystal age communities in joy and in harmony with Mother Nature, using solar sciences of the spirit, and that we radiate light and we live in love as one. So the Heart Center movement is composed of many heart friends whose desire is to hold a balance of light upon the earth by first intimately knowing their own God presence and discovering their reason for being, and then emanating light in ways that are directed by their I Am presence. And the Heart Center consists of people from every imaginable religion or non-religious background: Catholics, Buddhists, Baptists, agnostics, Unitarians. And we work closely with the Ascended Masters, those beings who have fulfilled their karmic debt on earth, and they now work with the angels in heaven and other cosmic beings and assist us toward our own ascension. So now I want to get into a little bit about the class procedure. We suggest that you bring a pencil and paper, use a landline phone with a speaker if possible. The landline phone with a speaker usually costs a few dollars more than a regular phone, and then your hands are then free, enabling you to walk around or take notes. So we will keep callers muted to eliminate background noise, and you can unmute yourself by pressing *6 if you would like to share something at our sharing times. Or if you cannot hear the class, do a *6 and let us know. So when you're through speaking, then you have to press *6 again so that you can be muted again. During our class, we will stop and allow questions and answers with a brief sharing of experiences. If you partake in this, please limit yourself to about 3 minutes so we can finish the class on time. And then we will have a prayer request time for those who can stay for 10 to 15 minutes longer. So is there anyone on the line that would like to give the invocation? If there is, you can do a *6.
Marlene, this is Barbara. I'd be happy to do that.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Barbara.
In the name of my mighty I Am Presence and Holy Christ Self, and the Holy Christ Selves of all of us gathered here in this virtual cloud of love on the phone, we call to beloved Jesus, to beloved Magda, and all the heavenly masters and angels to surround us with your light and love this night, to hold us in the center of the flame, to reveal to us on the inner those lessons that you desire us to know this night. Help us to share in purity, in joy, in love, in wisdom together, and mutually grow our love of service to life together. We thank you for being with us, and we pray that we be open and receptive to your guidance at all times. In the name I Am That I Am, amen.
Thank you, Barb. Okay, so we start off our class by doing a breathing meditation. It's also called pranayama. And this is to relax and align ourselves with the Holy Spirit. If there is a different breathing meditation that you prefer that's about the same length, feel free to do it. So consider your breath as a gift and part of the Holy Spirit as we do this together, which you can do with the phone in one hand. So close your eyes and look at the inside of your eyelids. Then with your eyes closed, look up towards that place in the center of your forehead, between your eyebrows. That's the location of your third eye chakra. So you have to see your breath coming in and out as a brilliant light entering every cell of your body. Mother Mary said that the Holy Spirit is a female gender. Thus we say her when referring to the Holy Spirit. So I want you to follow me as I say a mantra and I give you the instructions to breathe in, then you hold it in, then you breathe out, and then you hold it out. Each statement is to the count of 8. So we're going to breathe in. I breathe in my Holy Spirit. Now hold your breath. I absorb all of her merit. Breathe out her light. I breathe out her light to the world. Now hold it out. I am seeing God's love unfurled. Now we're going to do this 2 more times. Let's start over. So we're breathing in. I breathe in my Holy Spirit. Hold your breath. I absorb all of her merit. Breathe out her light. I breathe out her light to the world. Now hold it out. I am seeing God's love unfurled. One more time. Breathe in. I breathe in my Holy Spirit. Hold your breath. I absorb all of her merit. Breathe out her light. I breathe out her light to the world. Hold it out. I am seeing God's love unfurled. So that is called pranayama. And sometimes you can, it might be easier for you just to say, I breathe in my solar presence. So you can adopt that to your own personal desires. So now, tonight, we will share together a prayer with Archangel Michael that is on back of either the snail mail letter that was sent to you or the email. It's the same prayer and song that we used July 2nd. So as we do this prayer together, lovingly visualize the large blue angels of Michael's bands surrounding and caressing you in spiral circles of blue-white firelight, cleansing and perfecting you physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. So, prayer with Archangel Michael. Together. In the name of Archangel Michael, I say, O God, I am here this evening to serve with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my being. I give you my heart, O Lord. Live in me, love through me, protect me and all who are on this call from all distractions, from all technical problems, and allow your heart, your mind, your being to flow and sing within me, within us, to serve all life unto their freedom in the light. Thank you. Amen. So now we'll sing the song sent to you also in honor of Helios and Vesta and the sun behind the sun called the Great Central Sun. We praise. And this song can also be found on our website under the media and then under prayers and song, and it is number 53 in your song section if you have the song book. So, Donna, will you be doing the song?
Yep, I'm going to turn it on right now.
Okay.
Sorry, it was a little loud.
I am friend, all people claim to my redeemer.
Thank you, Great Central Sun. All right. So we want to invite everyone to go to...
Sorry.
That's okay. We want everyone to we want to invite everyone to go to our website, which is www.hearts, and that is plural, center.org, and just explore what we have to offer. And if you wish to contact us or you need any help or questions in regards to our website or the daily broadcast, contact anyone on our team, and our Barb or Donna. So whoever is able to stay for the prayer session at the end, we would like you to stay for that. And we ask people to take a moment for a silent meditation to pray for all attending and the success of the class and everything else that comes to your mind while we get ready. So I think, Donna?
Yes, I'm ready.
Are you going to take over?
I'll take over.
Thank
yep.
you.
Thank you, Marlene.
I'm going to do a star six.
Good. Okay, great. Okay, and again, if any of you have questions as we go along in this class, feel free to hit star six. We will stop at certain times so that you can do that. And I wanted to just say that this song we just sang is a wonderful song for use during the sunrise and the sunset. You can say it, just speak it out loud, or sing it. I just get so turned on when I sing it, and I'm walking around with the dogs around the lake that's near us. There's a lake about 2 miles away, and I'll put the dogs in the car, and we go down there and walk around it. And I'll be singing, and I forget that people walking by me are kind of wondering what's going on. So I get out my little paper, and because I pretty much memorize it, but I act like I'm trying to learn it so that they wonder, so that they think that I'm learning from this paper that I have with me and that I just need to practice, and they feel for me. And the dogs, they don't seem to mind it a bit. But I would encourage you to take this song, if you have a copy now, you should all have one, take the song and use it as a meditation, as an opportunity to praise God and all that he has given us. Okay, here we go into the heart stream. Okay, it's downloading here.
Blessed hearts who love God, would you like a new age revival this night?
Yeah.
Then stand on your feet.
Yeah. I just want to interrupt quickly. I forgot to say this is Magda. And Magda was known as a great evangelist when she was incarnated as Amy Semple McPherson. So this bold voice that you hear is really coming from lovely little Magda.
I have not lost my fire for my beloved Jesus, and therefore, ever since I have ascended, I have desired to have a new age revival. And this is our first experiment to see just what can occur with my beloved friends, who you are. This is your altar call, and you see steps here and there. And if you would receive the touch of Jesus through me, as I delivered it as Amy Semple McPherson, then you may have it this night. For beloved ones, what else is there but the fire of the heart of the Lord that we may embrace, that we may have access to, that may infuse us with his radiance in the full complement of the Christ consciousness that each of us is meant to become and fulfill, such that we may go forth as those emissaries truly as those missionaries of the Spirit to give to mankind the essence of Jesus, which is that Christ that we have all become. The Holy Spirit is here, and I am here to convey on behalf of the great Lord that which Jesus would have you each have this night as that spiritual fire and quickening and the awakening to your own higher Christ and Buddha nature that will give you the impetus to go forth to fulfill your mission as a Christed one in this hour, in this day, Blessed Hearts. We may need an usher to pick you up off the floor, should the Holy Spirit have his way with you. Therefore, I invite my son, Brian, and Donald, my sons, Brian and Donald, to be your escort on either side, and my son, Paul, to stand here with me on behalf of the Holy Spirit, should you require assistance. Come forth, my son.
Okay, we stop for just a moment here, and we ask the question, what is our reason for being? Because this is very important as our mission as a Christed one is to know why we are here. And each one of us has a specific reason for being here. We weren't just dropped here because our mother and father had sex. No, this was planned with a great karmic board and with our soul and our Father, Mother, God, our Christic Buddhic self. This was planned and agreed to by you in your soul consciousness. And you are here for a reason at this time. So I'm asking the questions tonight as before we go any further. Why were you put in your family? Why do you have your particular children, your job, your husband? As I examined my life with my presence, I came to realize that I came here as a pioneer for helping others prepare for the golden age. And the masters almost always mention that. You're here for a reason. You're here to bring in the others, to bring in the flock. We're paving the way. We probably won't get to see all the wonderful things that are coming in the great golden age, at least not here in the flesh for a while. We will see them from on high. But right now we are preparing the way for all the rest to enter. So I acquired my particular husband, I realized, to help him learn some lessons about public relations and to learn boldness and teaching skills from him. I am still learning lessons from my children who are learning from me and from each other. And when my husband died 1.5 years ago, I began to learn how to be a businesswoman, something I fought against to the detriment of my health. But I have finally given in, and now I'm doing much better, I have to say. It was like Paul, when Jesus was trying to recruit him, and he said, Paul, why do you kick against the pricks? You just hurt yourself when you kick against those pricks that are going against you. And that's what I was doing. So we need to sit down every so often and say, am I fulfilling my reason for being, and why am I here? With these particular people, what is it we are to work out together? What karma might I have with those who really raise the hair on the back of my neck and rile my nerves? What kind of situations are we in because we need to learn how to love one another? And this, she tells us, is within the Spirit Most Holy. So you'll hear that next.
The power to change is within that Spirit Most Holy. Therefore, I suggest that you commune with the Spirit, the Comforter that the Lord Jesus said he would send when he ascended to the heart of the Father. And ask of that Spirit this night what you would have as a portion of the fullness of the gifts. What you, as a disciple of the Christ, would glean from the very heart of the Blessed Trinity. On behalf of those whom you came to serve upon this earth.
I'm going to interrupt one more time here. And by the way, if you have any questions when I interrupt, feel free to hit star six and ask them. Or if you have anything to contribute, something that you know that you could share with us. What I would like to do here is ask you what would be a good gift that you would like to have from the Holy Spirit that would help you change and relate to your family, friends, your coworkers, or your employees. Because it's very specific in our Bible that we all use also as to what these gifts are. And I wanted to share some with you, and you so that you will know which ones you can choose from. In 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul says, and this is in the Living Bible, to one person the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. Someone else may be especially good at studying and teaching, and this is his gift from the same Spirit. He gives special faith to another, and I'm going to say she here. She gives special faith to another, and to someone else she gives the power to heal the sick. She gives power for doing miracles to some, and to others she gives power to prophesy and to preach. She gives someone else the power to know whether evil spirits are speaking through those who claim to be giving God's messages or whether it really is the Holy Spirit of God who is speaking. Still another person is able to speak in languages he never learned, and others who do not know the language either are given power to understand what he is saying. It is the same and the only Holy Spirit who gives all these gifts and powers, deciding which each one of us should have. And then over here in verse 24, it says, so God has put the body together in such a way that extra honor and care are given to those parts that might otherwise seem less important, but are very important to God. And he goes on and says, those are gifts. And in other words, the way the body, all of us, are put together to serve God and the masters and the angels and to work with all of the heavenly beings and cosmic beings who are here abundantly in light now as never before. We're hearing so many miracles every day. But the way he put us all together was to fit where all the needs are so that they're all met. One person may just simply take care of one child for somebody else. And that child, his whole life may be changed. He may be prevented from being a murderer one day. It goes on and says, so God has put many of the parts of his body, such as apostles, prophets, teachers, healers, caregivers, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who can get others to work together. He's put them all together in a different way, in a different place. But let me tell you something that is better than any of these gifts that we should all have. It says there are three things that always remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Let love be your greatest aim. Nevertheless, also ask for the special gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. So, I just wanted to say that because our Master, Lady Master Magda, really emphasizes the Holy Spirit.
I will know what is in your heart. The Holy Spirit will know what you have spoken. And you will receive based on the purity of your motive, the truth whom you have become unto this day. Specifically that quotient of spiritual fire that is your just due in this hour. Whether you receive my touch or simply the fire The Holy Spirit will direct through me, Blessed Heart. For he will be here, and Jesus on my right side, as you come forward. This is, of course, a free will choice. For not only will you receive the impetus that you suggest to the Lord God on your behalf, but you will also receive a commission that requires that you come up higher day by day from this day forward in your life. Therefore, do not take lightly this initiation. But if I were you, I would come forward. Come what may, Blessed Heart. Therefore, let us pray. O Lord Jesus, Savior of our souls, as the Christ, we adore the eternal light burning within your heart, that you most magnificently expressed in your Galilean mission and all the days of your life serving upon earth. Come forth and bestow your light unto these your servants. O Holy Spirit, great Comforter, we beseech thee. We accept your presence in our midst, and the fire as cloven tongues that descend now upon these your servants. O great Mother of all life, come forth now and bless and protect each and every one of your children who comes to receive something of that holy essence from your heart. O Father of all light, bestow to each one now the power of self-transformation that has always been there for the righteous and those who call unto you in holy prayer and sacrifice.
I'm going to stop here for a second and ask, is anybody able to share with me something that you know that Jesus had to say about Magda? And if you do, if you have any answers to that, please feel free to hit star 6, or if you have any questions so far.
This is Dwayne.
Dwayne.
Yes, I have a quote that Jesus gave, and it's, my beloved consort Magda truly was the very reflection of myself in form, and we did walk and talk together and wed in the true spirit of divine love that we both bore on behalf of all whom we served, and were called to be a witness to the two of twin flames. It is only through the tampering with the records of the keeper of the scrolls that you have been denied the true record of the love we shared, which is not an earthly sensual love, but truly the love of twin flames, whose joint mission it is to love God first and foremost, and then through that joint adoration to go forth to teach and preach the wisdom of the mother to all her children.
Wow, that's powerful. That's wonderful. Okay.
Donna?
Yes.
Hello, Donna?
Yes.
This is Leela. This is Leela. I just wanted to expound upon what that love that Dwayne just spoke about from Jesus, having that experience in Ghana just before Jesus came through with the heart stream That love was, it was so profound. It was like touching, it was like touching a bit of heaven, that love that was between he and Magda. And I don't know how else to explain it. It was just like touching a bit of heaven. The golden white light around them was just so magnificent, and the golden chalice between them, and the love that was just emanating. It's just, there are no words to describe it. It was like peace. It was peace and profound love. I have no other words to explain it.
I understand. It's very hard to explain,
but
the overwhelming
to
feeling.
To feel it. It was just, just to have had to feel it. I wish that I could have shared that with everyone.
Everyone will have their own unique experience, and I know that was a wonderful message that Jesus delivered to us when we were in Ghana, in Africa, and I was very grateful for that. I had one time when I realized I really wanted to do whatever Jesus and whatever, of course, I did not know the masters at this time. I only knew Jesus. I didn't know about all the other wonderful masters or about Magda, but I was on my knees, and I just said, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And wow, I was in nurse's training at the time. I could feel the light go down through my head, down through my body. I wondered if I could get up off the floor. I was kneeling by the bed, and I was having a rough time working with people in the psychiatric unit that I was assigned to. So I know that feeling. I could feel this. I could feel myself surrounded by the love of God, by the love of the Lord Jesus, and I was very grateful. Thank you, Layla.
You're most welcome.
We'll go on here.
I, Magda, now turn the wheel of this sacred signet, and I wrap around these holy ones currents of cosmic Christ consciousness for their victory in this life by the power of the Father, the Mother, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now made manifest upon this altar. Of ourselves we can do nothing, O God, but with thee and in thy name I am that I am. All power in heaven and earth is released and available to those who bow before thy holy name and altar. And it is so this night, by thy word and by thy commission, O God. Send these now unto our hearts. Come forth, O soul, and receive the anointing of that Spirit.
Now all of the audience members are coming to the altar for the touch and the blessing of Jesus and the Holy Spirit through Magda, through in the end, through David, who's just the what do you call it, when you have something electricity goes through.
There is someone here with a tumor that is now being dissolved by the power of the Spirit. It will not affect your life mission.
Laying hands on everyone as they come forward at this point. This was quite a service. I was there and I was very blessed by it. And this is one reason why everybody needs to come to our conferences once in a while and get some of these extra wonderful blessings.
One of you has been struggling. Your struggle will be over permanently because of your constancy. No one's falling down yet. Greater the slap.
The more light may be released.
Get another one for your wife. You have to give it to her when she comes back. Hallelujah. As I know him, my beloved. And let us kneel now. O my Lord and my beloved, let us build a new four-square gospel church through these hearts and fire this night by your fire. Your flame. This is a new great commission. And I say that there are more than 70 here, are there not, O my beloved? Look upon the record of these life streams, O Lord. If 70 could begin a new movement 2,000 years ago, what will these do now, O my Lord, to raise the earth in sacred fire and to bring about a new revolution of the spirit. Cloven tongues descend upon each and every one of you. Receive the Spirit. Receive the Holy Ghost now. For you see, blessed ones, in the alpha spiral of Pisces, my Lord did send them forth. And in the omega spiral of Aquarius, the mother flame sends forth her children to fulfill all again. Rise now. When you ascend into the heart of God, you are born anew. You are truly revived in spirit in that hour. This is the true revival that we, the ascended masters, would be a party too. And you should see our parties. So let us joy in the Lord and praise his name and sing and dance and be joyous as heart friends of the Spirit, my beloved friends. I thank you.
Thank you, Magda. Thank you, Magda, for that wonderful delivery. Now what we would like to do is I have asked a lovely lady named Doretha Stewart, who is also someone who has done a lot of studying because she loves Magda and she loves the story of Mary Magdalene. And most people know very little about Mary Magdalene and her real life, what she was like, and what her relationship with Jesus was. And so, Doretha, I like to call her Dee. Dee, if you are there, please come on and say hello. And we
hi.
Will...
Hello, Donna. I'm here.
Oh,
hi,
good.
Hi, everyone.
Oh, I'm so glad.
So grateful
to be
here.
I'm going
to
ask a few questions, Dee, about Mary Magdalene's life, because there's just very little in the Bible, and people don't know for sure, but they mostly think that she was a naughty girl.
Mm-hmm.
And as to what developed after she was converted and followed the Lord's teachings, we don't really know how that all happened. So I thought I would ask you first to share a little bit about Mary Magdalene's life, her family, her brothers or her sisters, her wealth, whatever she was. Maybe you could enlighten us. Go ahead.
Oh, sure. Thank you. Back in the 1700s, I think it was about 1774 to 1824, there was a nun. Her name was Anne Catherine Emmerich, and she used to have visions, a lot of visions about some of our saints and prophets and so forth in the Bible. And she happened to have also visions, many visions about Jesus, about Mother Mary, and about Mary Magdalene. And actually there was a book that she wrote or dictated called Mary Magdalene. And in her book, which was based, of course, on her visions, she indicated that Mary Magdalene was actually the sister of Lazarus, of Martha, and that she was the Mary of Bethany. And she indicated that she came from a large family, about 15 children, and that she was very lovely. She was the apple of her mother's eye and so forth. And basically, according to these visions, the parents passed away, okay, at different times. And these Mary's family, they were very wealthy. And she, by drawing lots, supposedly won a castle that they owned. And this castle was in an area called Magdala. And the castle's, the name of the castle was Magdalum. And many historians have decided or have come to the decision that Mary Magdalene's name was Mary Magdalene because she came from Magdala. And that is what a lot of the names were that people had, like Jesus of Nazareth and so forth. It was connected to where they originated from, where they were born and so forth. And Magdala was a fishing village, a fishing town, and very prosperous. And so according to these visions, Mary Magdalene had inherited this castle and was quite flamboyant and a party girl. Well, we've gotten some information since that time, and actually some of this information comes from the Summit Lighthouse. Elizabeth Clare Prophet, who was a messenger of the Great White Brotherhood, is currently ascended, and she is the Lady Claire de Lis. She had indicated that actually Marieth Bethany was Mary Baker Eddy, and that actually Martha, the sister, was an embodiment of hers, that she was actually Martha. And we've actually gotten some new revelatory information. Basically, this was given through the beloved messenger, David Christopher Lewis of the Heart Center. And this was on the third of June, 2009. And basically, there was a darshan. And the darshan is where the messenger is overshadowed by one of the masters. And it's like a conversation or an opportunity for the master to ask the student's questions or the student to ask the master's question. And so the question was posed to the Ascended Lady Magda, if in the embodiment of Mary Magdalene, was she indeed the sister of Lazarus and Martha, and she said no, she was not. And so I think what we can surmise is that Mary Magdalene was from Magdala. More than likely, she was a very wealthy person. She had servants, she had handmaidens, and so forth, and this is what we can surmise. And I believe that this can be substantiated by the fact that in the Bible it indicates that she had this very precious oil. She was the individual who came with this precious oil to anoint Jesus' feet. And you may recall in the Bible that actually one of the disciples, it may have been Judas, I'm not sure on that. However, they were very upset about the fact that this very precious and expensive oil was going to be utilized on Jesus' feet. And we also got some additional information, which I think is quite exciting to me. And I happened to witness this. There was a pilgrimage to France in 2009, and there was a heart stream through David Christopher Lewis, and it was our beloved Magda, and she indicated that her sister, at least one of her sisters, we're not sure if she had more than one, actually one of her sisters, though, a sister of hers was there in the audience with us, and she asked this beloved soul to come up to the podium where David was. And again, David is basically just the instrument there. And she embraced this beloved heart friend, and it was just such a wonderful, tender, beautiful moment. And she basically told her how much she loved her. And it so happened that this particular heart friend has suffered from a very serious illness. And she talked to her about that, and that she basically was bearing this for world karma. So we can surmise that Mary Magdalene was a very wealthy individual. She definitely did have at least a sister, and that she came from an area which was near the Galilean Sea, which would have been near where we know our Lord was. And so we can assume that she had a very happy childhood based on some of the things we've heard, and that she had an opportunity to express herself in many ways that what we kind of assume might have been ahead of the times. And so she was considered to be a lady about the town. So that's kind of a little snippet of what I have discerned about Mary Magdalene's early life.
Wow, that was fantastic. I had no idea. That was very good. I want to ask you also, Dee, where or why do we have the impression that Mary had a special relationship with Jesus?
In the canonical Gospels, in the Bible, it really doesn't mention much about Mary and any type of relationship. However, there were some apocryphal books. The Gospel of Mary was found, Nag Hammadi, and the Black Sea Scrolls. They found some additional books that were not included in the canonical Gospels. And there was a Gospel of Mary and the Gospel of Philip. And in these Gospels, it describes how Jesus confided in Mary, and it's pretty much assumed, and it, without a doubt, the scholars have accepted the fact that this Mary is Mary Magdalene. And it indicates in these Gospels that Jesus confided in Mary. that he shared secrets with her that he did not share with the other disciples, and that she was very, very, very wise. She was able to discern his teachings and understand these teachings, even though the other disciples could not understand them. And so she was very enlightened. She had this wisdom. She could understand the Master's teachings. And it also states in these Gospels that Jesus loved Mary more than he did the other disciples. And the Gospels mention that he used to kiss her on the mouth quite often. So I would say that they definitely did have a very special relationship.
Oh, wow, that's for sure. I just can't imagine what the disciples, I'm sure they might have had a little problem with that. And so I want to ask you, how did the other disciples, or how did the other disciples seem to react to Mary Magdalene?
There was a lot of jealousy at that time. And I would just like to preface that. At that time, women were not deemed as individuals that could be disciples or priests or ministers or anything. They were not even counted when they were tallying up how many people, let's say, the Sermon of the Mount. Women were not even included in that count. So you can get an idea that at that time, women were not, they had a certain role, and it was expected that they stay within that role. So we've got that sort of like as a background. Then we have our Lord, we have our Savior, okay, who is confiding in this individual, who is definitely a disciple. He is sharing information with her that he is not sharing with the other disciples. He is kissing her and showing her all this affection. And the disciples were quite jealous. And specifically, the apocryphal text mentioned that Peter definitely had a problem with Mary Magdalene and her relationship with Jesus. So she not only bore what the times put on women as far as their place, she also had to deal with the envy and the jealousy that was directed toward her from the disciples.
Yeah, that would be a little bit rough. I remember reading a little bit from some of these apocryphal texts, and I can remember seeing one point where the disciples really were not being too pleasant. At that point, it said that Mary began to cry. And I thought, wow, she, for a woman to know what she knew and to have that kind of relationship and that wisdom and all that responsibility meant for her at that time, with men being in charge, basically, that must have been a tremendous challenge.
She bore it with
dignity. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do some historians think that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute?
Yes, they did. And that was because of one individual, actually. This was Pope Gregory the Great, who was the pope during the 6th century at that time. And we also have to understand at that time, of course, the understanding that we have of how women were perceived. We also have to understand that at that time, Rome basically had accepted the Christian faith. However, the Christian faith as we know it today did not exist. You had many different sects. You had your Gnostics, you had your Essenes, you had these different groups. And basically, the Rome desired to kind of wrap things up in a very neat package because they desire to be able to kind of control the people with doctrine and dogma and so forth. So Pope Gregory decided by taking the book of Luke, the book of Mark, and the book of John, and each of these books had mentioned a lady, so to speak. One described, I think it was Book of John, he described a situation with a sinful woman, and then there was the woman that had the seven devils ejected, and then there was the one that was called Mary, I believe, in the Book of John. And so basically the Pope decided to combine these three individuals. It was not indicated in the Bible that, okay, the sinful woman was Mary Magdalene. This title, when he combined them, was just put all together, and he indicated that they were Mary Magdalene, that these were one and the same, that the one that had the seven devils ejected was the same as the one that they called Mary, and so forth. And so he was trying to create not only an image, he was also trying to influence the people who at that point in time were deemed as Christians. And he basically created this image. He placed this particular, if you would call it, a mantle, so to speak, on beloved Mary Magdalene. And it wasn't until 1969 that the Vatican restated this manner. And they didn't say anything as far as why Pope Gregory combined them. They just separated them. They separated the sinful woman, Mary of Bethany, Mary Magdalene, the woman who had the seven devils cast out. They said they were basically in their homily, they said they were not the same individual. And so at that point, and there was, again, there was no public apology. There was nothing that was stated as far as why this had been done. They just, by the nature of separating these women again, as they were indicated in the Bible, took that stigma off of Mary Magdalene.
Oh, that is so good. Hallelujah. Yes, we know that there's a tremendous history of the church fathers wanting to have control, and some of the facts were changed for that very reason. Did, or let me ask you this, is there any indication as to how Mary seemed to change spiritually speaking, and how Jesus was instrumental in this? And also, did Jesus and Mary Magdalene have children?
Well, I'll start first with how Jesus was instrumental in regard to Mary Magdalene's development. Some historians believe and accept the fact that Mary Magdalene was the woman that had seven devils exorcised or ejected. And the dilemma there is that when the Bible was being translated from Greek, many of the words lost their true meaning. So if they utilized the word devil, that meant a sickness or an illness. It could have been physical, it could have been mental, it could have been both. So it's accepted that in some circles that Mary Magdalene was cured by Jesus of this sickness or these sicknesses. And when she was released from these illnesses or these sicknesses, she was able to really then focus in on her true mission and her divine plan in that particular life. And we keep in mind that there is an acceptance that she was wealthy, and you find in some of the apocryphal texts that the women were very, very instrumental in Jesus's travels. And if, let's say, for example, in the messenger, David Christopher Lewis, if he's going to go to a different city, there's a lot of preparation. People might go ahead, make reservations, this type of thing. And the women, including Mary Magdalene, was very instrumental in paving the way and getting things arranged, the travels, the lodging, everything for Jesus. His travels and part of his mission. So she became very integral in this. And we also know that that Mary Magdalene is the individual that did anoint Jesus with the oil, the precious oil. She was the individual that went to the house of Simon the leper. She was the lady with the alabaster box. We also know that she stayed with Jesus after the crucifixion, in light of the fact that many of the male disciples had fled. They were in hiding. Mary stayed. She also anointed his body before his burial, and we know that she was also the one to discover the empty tomb and to be the first one to see him, I guess you would call it his glorified body, after the resurrection. So just in light of the fact, if, as far as this relationship that she had with the living Christ, with the resurrected Christ, that she was very involved in his mission, and this all seemed to have happened after the fact that, after the fact that she was cured of these illnesses. And I would like to say, in regard to let me just back up a little bit. There was a, I'd like to read a very, very short excerpt from a dictation that was given, or a heartstring that was given by Mother Mary on March 5th, 2007, through beloved David Christopher Lewis. And she says, "Blessed hearts, men and women seek love, and in seeking love, their great desire forms a bonding between them. This bond I would speak of this day as the marriage of the feminine and masculine principles of life, and of that which, principles of life, of that this may mean for the soul, the spirit, and for men and women who also desire union with God at the highest level. First of all, I would have you know that the marriage at Cana was the marriage of my son with Mary, Mary Magdalene. I impress upon your souls in this hour the record of this marriage and of the event from Akasha. For the truth of this event has been suppressed within scriptures and within the churches, such that you would not know fully the story of the twin flame love of Jesus and Mary Magdalene. Thus you see that marriage is a sacred event, sanctified by the presence of Jesus with his disciples and Mary as the bride of the Lord. And I was there as witness to the first public miracle that Jesus did perform at his own wedding." Okay, blessed ones. Had Christianity had the full story before them, then much could have been averted these thousands of years in the way of not only the suppression of the light of the mother, but in the understanding of the need for priests and priestesses to take their place at the altar to serve on behalf of all peoples. So Mother Mary gave that heart stream, and we know about the wedding at Cana, and what we did not know, however, is that this was our Lord's marriage to beloved Mary Magdalene, his beloved twin flame. And there was also a darshan that was given by Mary Magdalene also on June 3rd, 2009. And she indicated, again, that she was the wife of Jesus and that they did have a child, at least one child that we know of based on her discourse, and that this was a little girl. Some traditions say that Mary Magdalene, after Jesus' crucifixion, went to France. And we also know from Progressive Revelation through the Summit Lighthouse and through the Heart Center that after Jesus' crucifixion, he went to India and lived there until his 70s. We also have the Progressive Revelation that Mary Magdalene lived into her 60s. So we know that they had a child. Did Mary and her daughter, did they go on to Europe, to France? We've also received information recently that Notre Dame, the famous church in France, was actually named after Mary Magdalene. So did she go to Europe, to France, and to other European countries as a disciple? As an apostle, she was called the apostles to the apostles because she was the one, after the tomb was discovered empty, that ran and told the disciples, the apostles, about the Lord, and that he was ascending and would come to meet with them very soon. So we know that there was a marriage. We know that there was a child, and did she go to Europe? That's something I guess we can discern. We know that, or we've been told and read through many stories that Mother Mary went to Europe, and that both she and Mary Magdalene were very integral in the founding of what we know of as the Catholic Church today. So there was a child, a beautiful daughter. Did she intermarry into the family in France? I think it was the Merovingians, which I think was mentioned in the book that everybody has been talking about. It kind of escapes me right now. But it's the book that talks about Mary Magdalene and the fact that she bore Jesus' child and that she was the Holy Grail. And she was indeed the Holy Grail for a number of reasons. One being the wife of our Lord and the mother of his child. She also was the feminine aspect of the divinity, as Jesus was the masculine. She represented the Omega. He represented the Alpha. So,
wow.
Quite intriguing, wow. Yeah.
You have really done your homework. I've got to ask one more question here, and
yes.
That is, if there's anything else, of course, that you want to tell us about Mary Magdalene, that would be fine. But we'd like to know just a little bit about her incarnation as Amy Semple McPherson. And
yes.
After she ascended, did she what she had to do in order to complete the resolving of her karma?
I'd be happy to. I would like to share in regard to Mary Magdalene, our beloved Magda, and this is some information that we've received through the Heart Center, and that was that she was a priestess in the Order of Melchizedek, and she was also on Lemuria, and she was a priestess in the Temple of the Sun. And we have also acquired information from the Summit Lighthouse that she was an empress on Atlantis 50,000 years ago. She was with Elijah, the prophet. She was the woman who gave him the oil. She was Justinia, at the time of Joshua, the Joshua in the desert with Moses. And Joshua, you may know, was also an embodiment of Jesus. And we're not sure, based on the information, whether she was his mother or if there was a different type of relationship between them. However, we know they were together in that life. She was also Potiphar's wife. Potiphar was the officer of the Pharaoh during the time of Joseph that had the coat of many colors. And we also know that Joseph, and you might recall that story from the Bible, Joseph was also an embodiment of Jesus. She was also Bathsheba during the reign of King David of Israel. And also King David, we know, was also an embodiment of Jesus. And, of course,
yeah.
We know that she was Mary Magdalene, this beloved soul, Magda. She was one of Jesus' chief disciples. And I would like to also mention here that in the Bible, so often we've heard, when we've heard about John the Beloved, that this was the beloved of Jesus, and that may have been so. However, it really has been hidden, I think, or erased, as we know, that when he was referring to his beloved, he was really referring to Mary Magdalene. And then as Amy Semple McPherson, she was born in 1890 in Canada, and she made her transition in 1944. And she was an evangelist at that time, as we heard from the beloved Heartstream. She was also a healer. And it is said that in that particular life that she communed with Jesus, that Jesus had come to her and basically told her that when you stretch your hand out to heal someone, I will be behind you and I will heal them through you. And she converted many, many souls to Jesus. She was very flamboyant. Her church, as you know, was started in Los Angeles, and this, of course, is our Hollywood, and she really, really took advantage of that, and she would dress up and in different all types of costumes, and her sermons would kind of surround these very theatrical performances, and that was so intriguing to many people, and if it had not been for just her charisma, her flamboyant ways of preaching and teaching and giving the word, many people would not have been converted. And she was the first woman to get a radio license for a Christian radio station at that time. And I would like to mention here about she had her revivals, and her church would be packed. They said thousands of people, three times a day, people would be coming to her services. And there was she was known for her healing. And there's so much about Amy, I won't go into it now, as we know that she was abducted and all kinds of things in that life. And there was a story where her healing abilities were just very well known. And there was this individual who was born without pupils, without an iris. So he was blind, and his eyes were totally white. There were no pupils, there was no iris, there was nothing. And so he heard of Amy, and he was determined to go to one of her revivals and to just see if there was anything that she could do for him. So he got an opportunity to go up to the stage. And so what Amy asked him to do was to turn around and look at the audience. And there are thousands of people there. And as he turns around and he's looking, I mean, he can't see, however, he's staring out, and it's just the white of his eyes. And all of a sudden, as Amy is healing him, has her hands outstretched, they start to see little dots come into his eyes. And gradually, these circles, the iris, the pupil, and whatever, appeared in his eyes. So this was something that thousands of people witnessed. She healed people, so many people, and this was one of the miracles that people saw at one of her revivals. And when she made her transition in 1944, she had taken some sleeping pills. She had been dealing with an illness that she had contracted from her travels, and she was going through a lot with her family and so forth. She took these sleeping pills to rest. It was right before she was going to have a big revival that day, and she didn't wake up. And after she made her transition, she had to, in the higher octaves, for at least about 50 years, I believe, our time, she gave violet flame decrees so that she could balance her remaining karma. And I think it's just such a wonderful boost for us to know that violet fire, that flame, is available to us, and that we could utilize that right now, here now, to transmute so much in our world. And as Magda, the twin flame of Jesus, she is, again, the Omega return to Jesus' Alpha Thrust, and she works with Jesus even now, along with Saint Germain and beloved Portia, to make this transition from the Piscean age to the Aquarian age. And so that's pretty much what I have, and I hope I answered your question on that or gave some insight.
Yes, that was wonderful. That was above and beyond anything that I even anticipated. So just wonderful, Dee. I'm so grateful for that. I was trying to think if there's anything I had here that I could contribute, and there's nothing. I don't have anything left because you have done it all. So I am very, very grateful for that. And I'm going to ask Dwyn, are you there? If Dwyn is there, I'm going to ask her to still the service for us, and then
yes,
after we will pray. We will
yes.
do this. Okay. And you may leave, those of you who have had enough, or you may stay and share with us in our prayer session. So go ahead, Dwyn.
Beloved Father, Mother God, beloved Jesus and Magda, we give gratitude for this opportunity to come together in love and receive the illumination of this most magnificent teaching. We ask for your presence with us and to go with us throughout our week, that we may absorb the illumination that we have received and bring it forth in our lives in practical application. And we ask for your angels and your beings to be with us and all who have been on this call and all who will hear this beautiful recording, to strengthen this amazing teaching within our souls and our hearts and our minds, that we may be out picturing this magnificent teaching. Amen.
Amen. Okay, I'm going to stop the recording now, and we will have our prayer time. So stay with us.